Greetings from the New Beginnings Church, where Pastor Robert L. Middleton Jr. is the senior pastor. Our focus is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes generations by winning souls, showing love, and developing a deeper sense of worship-provoking total deliverance. Check out our website at rlmiddletonministries.com. Also, we're on social media, Twitter at RevYRob4, Instagram, New Beginnings Ministries, Inc., on Facebook, search New Beginnings Church. Our service times are Saturday, 5:30 p.m., Sunday mornings, 11 a.m., Wednesdays, 12 noon, and 6:30 p.m. New Beginnings Ministries, let the healing begin.
I believe God's going to do something real great for us if we hold on. The 11th chapter, the first verse, and it says this. Everybody has it? If you don't have it, I'll wait for you. You getting there? Amen. I see some of you still kind of looking. My boys got iPhones. I don't know why y'all ain't got a Bible open. Get your phone and get your Bible open. Don't let the whole church be saved and you go to hell. Get your phone out. Get a Bible app. Open it up. Those are my children, y'all. And we got to get them. 2 Samuel is in the Old Testament. And you're going to go to chapter number 11. Y'all help me save my kids. Y'all hear me? Pray for my children. I'm serious. Just because they're PK kids, let me tell you, the enemy after them even harder. When you see them, be like, your parents would want you to be reading the Bible. Kill. I trust y'all. I love y'all. Y'all my family. And I know that you all will do what's best for my children. Are you there? 2 Samuel 11:1 says, then it happened in the spring, at the time when the kings go out to where? What is a battle? Come on, say it. Can y'all help me preach today? A fight, a battle, a struggle, what? Opposition. I was looking for that word. Opposition, what else?
A race.
Say it, Jordan. My Jordan back there. I'm telling you that, boy. Said when the kings should be out to where? Battle. When the kings should be out to where?
Battle.
Why do we go to fights with food? Why do we go to fight? Come on, when it says that we should be battling, why are we dancing and stuff when we should be fighting? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. How do you fight? Through prayer, through fasting, through consecration. Remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But we're wrestling against principalities, rulers of darkness, wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And when we should be fighting, which we should be in battle, when we should be in prayer, when we should be in intercession, we're on the phone, we're gossiping. Y'all talk to me. We're doing all kinds of things, and guess what the enemy's doing? Ha, ha, ha. He's creeping in. Because it says it's times when the kings go out to battle. That David, now David, we've been talking about David. When David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed in Jerusalem. Now wait, it didn't say that the people that David sent were the only ones to go to war. It said that the kings will go to battle, right? But David didn't go. The leader didn't go. It said that he stayed and he sent Joab. And they went and they fought. I want to just back up for a minute. Now, we're talking about being on our way to the promise. Now, y'all know in 2 Samuel chapter number 5, David had just made it to the throne. He is now the king, not just over Judah, but he is the king over all of Israel. Their tribes came to him and said, look, we want you to be our king, David. You're the one that led us out. You're the one that did X, Y, and Z. And now we have come for you to be our king. Here it is now, 6 chapters later. David is now staying at home when he should be in battle. All those chapters after he hit the throne, that God had blessed David. I want y'all to watch this. God had blessed David, and David was in a place where any enemy that came up against him, God allowed. lift you back up, begin to pull you out of a dry place. Here comes the enemy. This is what happened with David. David had been running from his enemy. Finally, God puts him on the throne. He's still defeating more enemies. He's got to a place where he understands God has his back. Let me tell you this. Don't take for granted when God's grace and mercy keeps covering you. I love everybody. I ain't prejudiced. I don't care if they're from a book. anointed. He know he's anointed. He's living in the castle. He got it now. And when he should have kept fighting, God didn't say the war was over. The problem is sometimes we're not listening for God to say, okay, you can rest now. You need to keep fighting. And God is putting issues, watch this. God's putting issues in your life so you'll keep fighting. And he wants you to keep fighting so you understand it ain't time to stop fighting. And instead of you fighting, you start, I'm tired. I'm giving up. I'm just sick of it. I can't take no more. Yeah, keep fighting. He said, I'm putting them there so you'll keep fighting. The enemy's not done yet. I have not called him over you yet. And we'll sit there and say, I don't know why God is allowing this to happen. Because he said, throw up your spiritual dukes and fight back. He's saying fight back. David should have been in war. But because he's king. And I got men that fight just as good as me. They know what to do. I trained them. I don't care who you train. If God tells you to do it, he expects you to do it. And he sent them. And yes, they did a good job. But what happened was, see what had happened was. Just saying. What had happened was, is that David, when he should have been asleep, the enemy kept waking him up. Y'all got to know when it's the enemy. He was like, man, I can't sleep. Let me just go out here on my porch. He went out on the porch and got an eye full of something he shouldn't have got. Because, see, the women were bathing, and the women were bathing because they didn't think any men were in town. They were at war. But David wasn't at war. He wasn't at battle. He was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, so he got an eye full of Bathsheba. And when he got an eye full of her, he made the wrong decision. Because when his heart should have been in a place of battle, the enemy had creeped in and gave him a heart of lust. Y'all ain't hearing me. When his heart should have been on fighting, his heart was on something else. Now I don't know what the problem is, because David had a bunch of wives. So it wasn't like he was in deficit or anything. Oh, y'all gonna catch that tomorrow. It wasn't like he was in need. He wasn't single. But he jacked himself up. And he watched her. And while he watched her, he called her into him. Now I don't know about you. The women of that day, I don't want to blame her. She shouldn't have been out there bathing. It was her time to bathe. And if the king called you, you want to go. Let me tell you something. Let a judge summons you. Now, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to run and say, I ain't going, and you're going to go. If President Obama calls you, you're going. Just because you want to meet President Obama. But he calls her in, and he does what he should not do. He should have went back with them other wives and the concubines that was in there. And she gets pregnant. Y'all know the story. She gets pregnant. And now God is looking, saying, when you should be battling, now you're making a bad decision. And you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. And now there are consequences for your actions. And now, here it is. In the midst of your mess, watch this. Oh, God. In the midst of your mess, now you drag somebody else in it. Isn't it something? You got to watch out for people that jacked up and now they want to drag you in the midst of their mess. They messed up and now they want to drag you in. They doing bad, so now they want to drag you in. They on the bottom, so they want you to be on the bottom. They in trouble, so they want you to be in trouble. You got to watch people like that, even if it's the kid. Because now he begins to cover up what he did wrong. And he covers up what he did wrong by killing her with his Bathsheba's husband Uriah. He has Uriah serve his own death sentence, puts him on the front line and have him killed. He puts him there. He puts him there because he wants to cover up, because Uriah wouldn't sleep with his wife. Because guess what? Uriah's heart was in the right place. Uriah knew he was supposed to be in battle, and that's where he was. So he refused to sleep with his wife. Even when David sent him a couple times, he still refused to go. And so he laid outside the door when he could have went in. And now he's got to pay the consequences for somebody else's sin. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to get in trouble, let me get in trouble by my own self. I don't want to pay the consequences for somebody else's choices. I let me tell you something. If I'm going to go under, I'm going to go under doing me. But to go under because of somebody else's bad decisions. He pulled somebody else in because of his bad decisions. But the scripture begins to say what consequences was for David, for because of the simple fact that he slept. David began to fast. He began to pray. He wouldn't eat. He went down to sackcloth and ashes, and God did not change his mind. It's something when you make a decision and God said, I'm not going to bless it, I'm going to kill it. And that's why there's decisions we've made and God let it fold up right in front of you. You ain't never been there? You ain't never been there where God closed some doors? A door that you thought was a blessing and God wind up closing it? He said, because it ain't what I have for you. It ain't what I have for you. God will take and turn things around that even in our dumbness, when we're making the wrong decisions, God will turn it around so he can get us back on the right path. He will make it close. Want me to proof text that for you? He will make it close. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it for Naomi? It was God that closed her up. Didn't he do it for Sarah? Didn't he do it for Rebecca? It was him that closed it up. Why? Because God needed to get them on a path where they trust him. So it goes on to say, that after David did what he did, God sends the prophet Nathan. Nathan comes and tells David about, he gives him a story about a ewe lamb. And he begins to tell him a story about a man and a little lamb. And how the man, you know, he was getting ready to prepare a feast. And instead of him taking his lamb and slaying his lamb, he took somebody else's little lamb and slew that lamb. And David's going on and David's getting infuriated at the fact that how could somebody do such a thing? The prophet turns around to him and says, you are the man. You're the one that did it. David at this point begins to recognize and understand that it wasn't against man that he had sinned. It wasn't against man he had made the wrong choices. It was against God. One of the things the enemy wants to do is while you're in a good place, while God is trying to stretch you and show you what it is that he has for your life, it's the enemy's job to come and keep throwing fiery darts. The Bible says this, to put on the whole armor of God. God gives us that scripture for a reason in Ephesians 6 and 11. He says, put on, he said, the whole armor of God. Why is he saying that? This is the way what it reads. In Ephesians 6, 10 and 18, it says this. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His, not yours. You don't have the strength to beat the enemy. But God does. In the name of Jesus, we have power. It's not in our own self. Brothers, men, you have to be careful when you allow your own strength to get in the way of what God wants to do. Yes. And women, we have to be careful when we rise up and we don't let men do what they need to do. Y'all hear me yet? I should have got about 10 amens right there. Yes. Let them be men. Let them do what they want to do. But men don't get in the way of God. He said, put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. In other words, you can stand when he's trying to set you up with people, places, and things. The enemy don't mind setting a trap, setting you up. Have you ever got to a place to find out you were in the wrong place at the wrong time around the wrong people? Yes. What'd you do? Did you make yourself comfortable or you got out of Dodge? Oh, there's some times I got out of Dodge, yeah. I realized, what in the world? You crazy? What are you doing here? Man, these folks is... Nah, I was crazy, but they were crazier than me. Anytime you crazy, you see somebody crazier than you. I'm scared. They're scared too. I'm crazy, but they crazier than me. I gotta get up out of there. Because there's some things you doing, I ain't going that far. Now that's crazy. He said that you may be able to stand against the devil's scheme. So this is what he says. For we wrestle for our struggle. I'm in another verse here. And for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil and heavenly realms. He says this. You are not fighting against a person. Let me say this. The enemy uses people. But you're not fighting against a person. You're fighting against a spirit. Yes. And it's that spirit that want to get you jacked up. If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, somebody saying, it's a duck. You lay down with dogs, you won't get up with fleas. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying. Come on. Stop ignoring stuff. The bells are ringing, the sign is flashing, the train is coming. attack. I'm just saying, didn't you get in the water where the sharks were? But that's where the best waves are. Well, I tell you what. Then you better have on some armor. So when they bite, they break teeth and not break bone. Because you decide to go skiing, ride the waves in the water with sharks and stuff like that. You better be looking for those things because they're there. It's the same thing with us when we go into areas. Let me tell you something. How can God bring about such a great deliverance in your life and deliver you from a place of poverty, and that's where you want to go hang out? How is it that God could? See, I grew up in the projects. I know what it's like to turn on the light and all the roaches run. See, y'all maybe ain't never dealt with that, but I know it's like you turn on the light, and then when you turn on the light, all the roaches scatter. Y'all is blessed. Y'all blessed. I grew up that even if you cleaned your house and apartment next door wasn't clean, you might have little mouse friends. You call them cousins. See, y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all is blessed. Y'all pray for me. I know what that's like. Dishwashers. I was the dishwasher. Look at remote controls.
I'm
is abusive. After doing all the stand. He says, stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. And although it don't look like what you think it should look like, believe God anyhow.
Yes.
Believe him anyhow.
Yes.
He said, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The problem is that we want spiritual things, but we want to hang around with people that are not spiritual. And here you are saying that you believe God and you love the Lord and you serve the Lord, but you're sitting around with people that ain't going in the same direction you're going in. And you wonder why you feel weak and crazy when you leave from around them, because you're around things that are carnal instead of being around things that are spiritual.
Yes. Yes.
It's just what it is.
That's right.
I'm going to put myself on blast so I can help y'all. When I feel my temper getting short, and I feel myself getting real impatient with people. This flesh starts getting in the way. Guess what? I'm not where I need to be spiritually. I need to put this flesh on a fast. I need to starve it. When I can't stand being around people, I just can't stand being around Tori, because you know she got that scarf on. I don't like it. She didn't ask me did I like her scarf, but because I got issues not with her, with me. I got issues with me. Y'all, I'm gonna say this again. I have issues with me. I'm hating on, and I'm taking all my frustration out on. When she did nothing, all she did was put on a scarf. Y'all ain't hearing me. All she did was put on a scarf. She asked me a question, I bite her head off. Because she asked me a question, I just don't feel like talking right now, toy. Y'all ain't never been there. Y'all ain't never been there. But those that are filled with the Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit, we have love, patience, joy, long suffering, temper. Y'all not hearing me. And even if she catches me at the wrong time, my spirit man catches me, get my attitude in check and say yes to me. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Why? Because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. See, this thing about menopause, I don't buy that. That's just people that are evil. I'm going through menopause right now, but I'm not going to be flipping out on my husband because I don't want him to go to nobody else because I pushed him out with my menopause itself. Y'all ain't hearing me. Mood swing. The devil is a liar. The Lord is my keeper. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. I don't have to act any kind of way. Either I'm filled with the Spirit or I'm not. I'm not half filled. I'm filled with the Spirit. How do you get half filled with the Holy Ghost? How do you get half filled with the Holy Spirit? Y'all pray for me because I'm half filled. How do you get half filled with the Holy Spirit? Either he abides or he don't. Yes, this flesh is getting away. Don't get me wrong. But when you spend a lot of time with Jesus, before you get it messed up, you're through to me now. Before you get it messed up, you, oh my God, the Spirit of God that's loving and that's kind and that's patient and that's long-suffering. Oh my God, that knows that this place is not permanent. This place is just temporary. I was just talking to somebody on yesterday, and I told him, I said, the problem is that the place that God gave us as temporary means, we try to make it permanent. And because we make it permanent, it brings a lot of frustration in our life because we're trying to make it permanent. God said, we're just pilgrims passing through. And this is, oh my God, y'all gonna catch it in a minute. And this place is not permanent. See, the place I'm going has mansions, and the street is made with gold, and there's rubies and diamonds and gates. And my father is there, and the cherubims and the seraphims, and the 20 and 4 angels are there. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy. make people permanent. Like we gonna live forever. And let me tell you something, I ain't trying to die tomorrow. No. No, I feel like God got more for me to do. But if I do, I know I'm going somewhere better. And I know when I get there, sissy, I'm gonna see my two nieces. And we gonna have a good time. But when God gets ready for me to go, I wanna be in a place so I'm not going down instead of up. Y'all not hearing me? I need to go to a place where I can get before my Father, lay at his feet and kiss him for all the wonderful things he's done for me. But it takes, oh my God, y'all not hearing me. I didn't need to go here, but I thank you, Holy Spirit, because he needs to bring us back to a place where we understand and recognize. Stop stressing over this stuff. Stop stressing over my life.
Yeah,
Y'all gonna remember what I said. You ain't got to respond, but you're gonna remember it. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. I'm about to end it. This is where I'm going. David, although he had messed up greatly, he had failed. He fell to the bottom. He fell real hard, and God dealt with him. And God gave him consequences for his action. And some of us, guess what? We fall too. I haven't always did all the right things. I ain't always made all the best decisions. So I know what I'm talking about. I know where you are. I've been suicidal before. Yeah. I've been suicidal before. Homicidal too, y'all. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm glad I got one honest person in here. I got two honest people in here. Yeah. Homicidal too. Homicidal too. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, Negro. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Watch your back. Don't go to sleep. Watch your back. Make sure I ain't in your back seat. Make sure you watch yourself when you come out of work. I'm just okay. I got the real church now, the real church. I like honest folk. Yeah, I'm gonna get you. I mean, what you say about my kids? You can say anything you want to say about me, but don't mess with my kids. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. What you say about my mama? You did not say that about my mama. Now, me and Just say. What you say? Y'all remember, now see, some of y'all are too young in here, but for those of you that do know, we used to put a stick on our shoulder and say, knock it off. You knock that, you knock my stick off my shoulder. You knock my head. You didn't, they knock that stick off your shoulder. See, we didn't pull our guns. We broke, scared, came off, and we started running the fear when you be fighting like a mad cat. And we would fight, and you would get all beat up, and the next day y'all go back outside and play. That's how we did it in the project. God, they not over your house even though you got me a black eye. Yo! You my bestie. You still my bestie. Next time, I'm going to beat you up. No, you ain't. Yes, I am. Y'all. And we learned how to fight because you had to fight. You didn't pull out no gun. You had to learn how to fight. And let me say this. You wanted to be friends with the big families. So if there was Browns or Smiths, those are the ones you wanted to be connected to because their family was big. You did not want to be in a family with just you and your sister. Now, y'all might have been tough, but you needed some reinforcement. I'm going to get, they're my friends. I'm going to get my cousins in them. You ain't even related. Me and my sister, but she was tough too. My sister, she was tough. Y'all, let me get back to you. Here we go. Listen. David had enough sense. Here we go. David had enough sense to realize what he did. And because he knew, watch this. Although David had made it to the throne, he realized God had more. Remember, Solomon needed to be born. And God needed a house built. Oh, he hadn't finished yet. So he made it to the throne. That wasn't his big finish. God hadn't allowed anybody to build him a house. Remember, they traveled in tents. And they would pack up the tent and they would move. And they would plant. And when God said move, they would pack it up again. And they would move. But that wasn't the end of David's story. And God knew he had more in store for David. So what he did was he gave David a repentant heart. And David says it like this in Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me. Yes. The enemy wants us to make us think there ain't no sense of telling God you're sorry because you're going to do it again. But one of the disciples asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? So God's grace is what carries us. Doesn't mean we willfully sin. We don't just willfully sin, just do things because we feel like we want to do it. But we go to God and we say, God, forgive me. And then we turn and say, let your Holy Spirit teach me how to walk in truth. Let your Holy Spirit guide me so I won't do this anymore. This is David's prayer. And this is why God said David was a man after his own heart, because even though he did wrong, he knew how to admit it. How many of us can be honest and say, God, I let my guards down, and be able to admit it? Come, y'all talk to me. I fell. I like that, brother. I like that. I'm working on it too. I've been saved over 20-something years, but still I go to God and say, God, help me. God, help me. I'm not there yet. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been walking. Don't let nobody tell you nothing. You still go to God and say, God, help us. Give me strength. Show me how to do this. God, increase my faith. Trials and tests come, and they begin to break you down and sift you. Break you down when you begin to get weak. Y'all ain't never been there?
Yeah.
But when you go to God and say, God, help me. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. He says, God, blot out everything that I have transgressed. What is a transgression? A transgression is different from iniquity. Transgression is what you do outwardly. He understood he had did something outwardly with Bathsheba. So he understood he had transgressed against God. But he goes on further to say, he says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee. Against thee, Lord. Because he understood it was God that gave him the anointing. He understood it was God that set him on the throne. And he understood that it was God that had the plan for his life. So he said, against thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. God, you saw me when I did it. I don't care where you go, and you said, God see you. He said, in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou justest. He said, behold, I was chafing in iniquity. He's understanding that, God, I'm a sinful man. And not only am I sinful, but it's in my heart. That's iniquity. It's in your heart. See, people can see what you do as a transgression, but a lot of times they don't see what's in you as an iniquity until it comes out. Y'all. You hear me? You'll find out what's in a person. You'll find out if they're really saved. You'll find out if they really have God by what comes out of them. Because remember, when God picked David, he didn't look at David from the outside. He looked at David from the inside. So he was looking at David's heart. And so he understood. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. He said, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said, God, I need you to give me wisdom. How many of us pray and ask God, give us wisdom? Give me wisdom. Help me to make good decisions. Show me how to make a decision about a thing that will affect the rest of my life. Give me wisdom, God. He says this, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. God, purge me. Don't just clean me, but purge me. When you purge up, you take away everything that is dead. Everything that is not needed. And see, only God can do that, and you'll still be whole. Folk will jack you up. But God knows how to purge you. He knows how to purge your mind. He knows how to purge your mouth. He knows how to purge your heart. He knows how to take out things that we've been carrying around for years. Come on, y'all. And even things that have come on us recently that hurt us so bad. You never been hurt? And it caused you to become bitter? And now you get to a point where you don't trust nobody no more? This is why you have women that struggle with lesbianism. And you have young men that struggle. Come on, y'all. Because somebody did something to them that hurt them so bad. Y'all talk to me. And they feel like, I'll never trust another man. I'll never trust another woman. But the woman you're with is abusive. Because she's been hurt too. And hurt people hurt other people. And so you're struggling, trying to get yourself together, because you're in something that God did not design you for. So he says, purge me. God, take out everything that's not like you. Stuff that was dysfunctional in my family that I thought was right, because we all did it, but it was dysfunctional. Y'all have no dysfunctional relatives? Y'all ain't got folk that come to your house, you have to hide stuff? You ain't got folk you want to come and leave at the same time? They're the one you don't want to see at the cookout? Anything, because they're gonna cut a fool. Y'all joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. In other words, David said, because I've done this, my spirit is crushed. He said, help me to hear joy and gladness. Restore me, God. Restore me. I don't know about you, but I need God to restore every place in my life that has been in a place where there was no joy, there was no gladness. Because of whatever reason, my own decisions. He says this, now watch this. He said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. God, please hide your face from my sins. All that I've committed against you, whether it had been out of my mouth, whether I had transgressed, whether it had been in my heart, it's all sin. He said, hide thy face from it, Lord. He said, and blot out my iniquities. Take my iniquities out of me, God. Take them out. If I hate, take it out. If I won't forgive, take it out. If I'm prejudiced, take it out. If I'm conniving, take it out. I'm a trickster, take it out. Do y'all hear me? But those things you don't see on the external because they're internal. Take out all my lustful desires. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Watch this. He understood that his spirit wasn't right. There's a spirit in you, but is it the spirit of God? Is it the spirit of God? Is it the spirit that's loving and kind and that forgives? Is it the spirit that embraces people even when they're wrong? Is it the spirit that judge and tear down and continue to kick you while you're already down? Because Jesus knew how we were going to treat him even when he went to Calvary. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Please, God, don't cast me away. I don't know about you, but I want to be where God is. Please, God, don't cast me away. He said, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I need the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of me. That brings comfort and peace and that gives me direction. And it lets me know when I'm wrong. Don't you know that there's times when the enemy will allow things to come at you and the Holy Spirit will tell you that you're wrong, but because of pride, we won't even go and admit that we're wrong? Okay. But this is what blessed me is verse number 13. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. God, I can't do for others until you do this for me. Until you teach me how to live, until you show me how to live. How can I show somebody else how to live? That's why the enemy wants to make a joke out of us. So people can say, ain't nothing to them. Ain't nothing to her. She just making a bunch of noise, but she ain't living nothing. And then this is what people do. I thought you were saved. And then you got a nerve to get mad because they're calling you out. Oh, just saying. Am I right? Y'all ain't never had somebody call you out because you did something wrong and they said, I thought you were saved. It hurts. I thought you were saved. You're like, well, you don't know nothing about me. Yeah, I'm watching you right now. I ain't got no whole lot, but I'm watching you right now. Deliver me from this blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God, O my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice. He's not looking at what you can sacrifice and give him. Else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of the Lord, of God, are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, wilt thou not despise. You need my heart to be right. You need my heart to be turned. Turn towards you, God. You ain't looking for how much I can give. I got that down pat. Even sinners give. But he's looking for my heart to be pure. Would you give me your heart? Will you live for me? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build out the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall thy offer bullocks upon thy offer, your altar. God is looking for us to just be honest and God, I went off track. I let my guards down. I fell, God. I'm jacked up. But God, help me get back because I want to be able to go to the place you promised for my life. And I understand it's the enemy. I understand it's the devil that keeps knocking me off my path. But God, I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to do it. Stand to your feet. I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you, God, to make me new. I'm asking you to do it, God. I'm asking you to restore me, God. You don't want to be so close to where God has, or so close to what God has for you, and miss out. Because the enemy has come to throw things in your path to distract you. There's been many of things this year that has come to distract me. Many, many, many. And there's times I couldn't do nothing but pray. Because I understood it was the enemy trying to come at me because of the places God wanted to bring me in 2014. And because of things God wants to do in my life. And even the people that God places in my life, it was the enemy that wanted me to not be able to think. Be so twisted up and so jacked up that I can't help nobody. This is what David's saying. God, if you don't do this for me, I'm jacked up. I can't help nobody. If you found yourself even this year where you understand it was the enemy that came at you so hard and even